Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today's sermon is the gospel reading from Luke 13, where Jesus is asked, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Please join with me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. We are about to discuss a matter of great controversy. It's a question of contention, one that has led often to scandal and heresy, false teachings of the worst kind. It's a topic which seemingly leaves faith divided against logic, love divided against love. It's a difficult question. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? Will those who are saved be few? A quick conclusion is no, of course there are many. On the other hand, looking at the condition of this world today, one might then wonder if the Son of Man will find the faith left on the earth when he returns. Plenty of false teachings have erupted based upon this question, from the most narrow-minded sectarianism to the most God-defying universalism. Will those who are saved be few? Instead of rendering an opinion, let us hear how the Lord answers the question. The word should have the final word, the beginning word for that matter. Therefore, let us explore the Lord's answer, for it comes in two parts. He first speaks of the narrow door as he answers according to the law. Then he speaks of the doorman as he answers according to the gospel. So Jesus answers according to the law. Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Jesus declares the law. The door of the banquet feast of heaven is a narrow door, and many will not fit through. The one who tries to bring in baggage will find the doorway too narrow. His bag of tricks and pet sins, which he refuses to part, will wedge firm and deny him entry. For one must be stripped of all such things at the cross to enter through the narrow door. It is tragic how many refuse to part with that burdensome bag. And how ridiculous it would look if we were to witness someone who refused to drop a burlap bag of junk in exchange for rich treasure. Yet this is the way of the world. For many burden themselves with all sorts of sins and transgressions that lead to death and cling to them at the expense of faith and forgiveness and life. But the Lord's word is clear. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6. Do not be deceived. Unrepentant sin, no matter how acceptable in this world, kills. The opinions of man do not widen doors, and such sinners will not fit through. The door is narrow, far too narrow for self-righteous man. And no, I don't just refer to the one who walks with upturned nose and believes that he's better than everyone else. Included here are all who subscribe to the world's belief that life for now and eternity is all about doing your best, watching out for your friends, trying to make the most out of life, and see little need for confession and absolution on Sunday afternoon. For such being good is all about not being bad. However, if we take seriously the doctrine of original sin, the one who says, I've done my best, is a liar. For the best is something we cannot do. The door is narrow, far too narrow for broad shoulders and big heads. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Those who are self-righteous will not fit through. The door is narrow, and many will be surprised. Among fervent seekers of God, it is a common belief that heaven is attained by specific good works, pilgrimages to holy cities, large donations of money and time, large families, vegetarianism, artistic works, whatever. It is taught that such acts demonstrate a sincere dedication to God, serving as badges of courage and medals of honor that gain the Lord's approval. But the door is narrow, and all such badges and medals will catch the door frame and hold tight. The one who trusts in their own works will not enter into the banquet feast. The door is narrow, far too narrow for group admission. Many will be terribly surprised that day, for entry is one at a time. Those who lightheartedly call themselves Christians but have no real faith in Christ will find their admittance denied. Those who hold a certificate of membership in a congregation but who have forsaken the Lord's means of grace will likewise find that piece of paper worthless in the end. Those who believe they are saved by their ethnic heritage or ancestry will likewise be frustrated. Christ died for all as individuals, and the one who believes he is saved because he belongs to a group remains outside the door. Lord, will those who are saved be few? The answer from the law of God is the door is narrow. Frightening so, for Jesus declares, when once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer, I don't know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I don't know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. Note this and be troubled. We find many people these days who cheerfully admit their unrepentant sin, who are more than happy brazenly to show how they knowingly violate God's commands. Such are in real danger of eternal death. But the Lord here declares that many who believe they are saved, even many who come to his supper, will be told to depart on the last day. We ought to react to this with godly fear, self-examination, and repentance. Too often, however, the reaction is far less holy. One objection to this news of the law is, this can't be true. How can a God who loves everyone allow anyone to perish? The ill-conceived question leads to two worthless, faithless lines. One might conclude, apparently God doesn't love everyone. Therefore, God is a liar and can't be trusted. Such a conclusion declares faith useless and the one is lost. The other conclusion is just as bad, for it says, God does love everyone, so he therefore doesn't allow anyone to perish. He saves everyone, no matter what they believe. Both conclusions are popular today, and both are wrong because they both misunderstand God's love. The world makes love equal to permissiveness. If you love me, you'll let me do what I want. Love is licensed to do anything, says the world. But God's definition of love is far different. God's definition of love declares that he always does what is best for us, but will never force us to accept what he does. God does what is best for us, even if we do not like it. You know, good parents know that love compels them to keep a child away from the fast-flowing irrigation canal, even though the child doesn't like the restraint and puts up a fuss. Likewise, God in love prevents things we hope for, even if we don't like it, for our good. Furthermore, God does what is best for us, even at great cost to himself, even the cost of his son's death on the cross in our place. God loves us so that he always does what is best for us. But in love, he never compels us to receive his love. He doesn't force us to be his people. An example here might help. So let us take a man who loves his wife. He likes it that she is around so that he can enjoy her presence, look upon her beauty, speak with her, care for her, and serve her. And we would call this love. However, if he then chains her to a pillar in their home so that she has no choice but to be there, he is no longer a faithful husband, but a psychopath. That is not love, but compulsion. She is forced to be there, and love does not force its way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The cross destroys any argument that God does not love us. Jesus has died for the sins of all so that all might be forgiven. But in love, he will not force anyone to be forgiven and saved for eternity. This is the best answer we can give to those who demand, how can a God who loves everyone allow anyone to perish? God provides salvation for all, and this is all his doing. Those who are lost refuse his gracious gifts, and that is their doing. One other common objection, which we can quickly address, is one of universalistic indignation. What about all those other well-meaning religious groups? Are you saying that they aren't saved? How dare you? To this we must respond in truth. Such groups seek after God, but they have elected to create a false God instead. If they believe in a different God, they try to enter heaven through a different door. But there is only one door. I am the door, says Jesus. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Lord, will those who are saved be few? According to the law, Jesus answers that the door is narrow. Such news should fill us with godly fear. He declares that all who fail to repent will not fit through. He proclaims that many who think that they are believers will be terribly surprised at a time when there is no time left to change. He thereby warns us to watch our doctrine and practice carefully. Meditating upon this truth, one might even ask, from the sound of this, can anyone be sure of their salvation? According to God's law, the answer is no. However, you can be sure of your salvation today, not because of Christ's answer according to the law, but his answer according to the gospel. While the Lord warns that the door is narrow, he also proclaims this joyous news. People will come from east and west and from north and south and recline at table in the kingdom of God. The door is narrow, but many will come in from all over. Why? Because God so loved the world. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for all people. He commissions the apostles to make disciples of all nations. Therefore, anyone who repents of their sin and believes in him will be saved. In other words, that narrow door is wide enough for all who believe in Christ and Him crucified. All sorts of people will enter from north, south, east, and west. It is true that no one will be saved because of their ethnicity or ancestry, but it is equally true that no one is disqualified from salvation because of their ancestry or ethnicity either. Christ has died for all, and He sends His church to make disciples of all nations. It is true that no one will be saved because they believe they have done their best and avoided certain bad sins, but it is equally true that no one who repents will be lost because of their failures. Christ has died for them so that they might trust in Him, repent of their sin, and be forgiven. What matters is not their attempts at holiness. What matters is Christ's holiness given to them. It is true that no one will be saved because of their great accomplishments and medals above and beyond the call of duty. But it is equally true that no one will be damned for their failure to perform notable, valiant acts. Many who enter the narrow door will never be recorded in history books as great men or women, but they are recorded in the book of life because Christ has died for them. Many will enter from north, south, east, and west, not because man tries to widen the door by teaching that everyone is automatically saved, but because Christ's sacrifice is all sufficient. He has died for the sins of the world, and all who trust in Him by God-given faith will be saved. Of this you can be certain, certain. Remember, from the law we heard that the door is narrow, that even many who believe they are saved will be terribly shocked to find they are not. And this leads to the question, can anyone be sure of their salvation? The answer in the gospel is most decidedly yes. Those who will be terribly surprised will be so because they have trusted in themselves while paying lip service to the Lord and His cross, and they have still trusted in their own works or righteousness to save them. But the law of God shows us the absolute foolishness of trusting in ourselves, and the gospel of God shows us the absolute certainty of trusting in Jesus. While the law rightly tells us that we cannot trust even our own hearts, but we can trust our Lord's promise that baptism gives the forgiveness of sins, by water and the word, Jesus welcomes you through the door and into His kingdom. At the font, He pulls you through the narrow gate, so narrow that unbelieving eyes do not see it. But it is there, for so He promises. Therefore, to ask, "Have I done enough to be saved?" will only lead you to uncertainty and fear. But to ask, "Have I been baptized? Has Christ washed away my sins with water and the word?" is to ask an objective question that is easily, marvelously answered by the word of God. By His word, the Lord warns you of your sinfulness and promises His salvation. To trust in your own works is to contradict God's word. No wonder it leads to uncertainty and terror. But to trust in God's word is to know this: Christ has died for all your sins, and now He opens the door for you. In, with, and under the bread and wine, the Lord Jesus feeds you His own body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. There He gives you His own holiness and righteousness. To trust in your own holiness will lead to uncertainty and despair. To trust in His promise is to know that even now you participate in a foretaste of the feast to come. Therefore, you can be certain of your salvation because Christ and the cross are certain, and He promises His forgiveness for you. "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" asks the man in the gospel lesson. Jesus doesn't answer the question, at least not with yes, a no, or a number. He does warn that the door is narrow, so we are to be faithful to His word. However, He also announces that His grace is sufficient and the door wide enough to gather people from all nations into his kingdom. For in Christ you are forgiven all of your sins. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.